Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of Liberty State, brought to you once again by the goodwill of Patriots everywhere and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about taking some time to pray and repent. I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit, because our hope is not in man. It's in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And that there is a difference indeed between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green. And it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Let's take a moment here. In the next month, particularly, from now until November in general, we need to be praying. We need to be fasting, as the Lord is calling you to do. At our church, we actually will fast the beginning of every month, the first 3 days of every month, to get focused on what matters, to get focused on Jesus Christ. We are in a time of great confusion and great chaos, and because of that, we need to be moored very solidly on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so the way that we do that is through prayer and through fasting, through time intimate with him, where we're not just praying, also we're listening to what he is saying to us. That's important. So right now, wherever you're at, if you have the opportunity to pull over, let's do that. And we're going to talk about today some of the stuff that's going on, but we want to keep in mind that Jesus Christ is ultimately the answer. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for where you've put us, for everything that you have touched, Lord, in our lives, all the blessings. We want to receive everything you have for us in the fullest measure possible. Lord, we want to keep focused on you. Even though there might be turmoil and chaos spinning around us, we want to keep focused on you so that that fades away. And we are just humble under your protection, under your guidance, under your leadership, under your wisdom, under your courage. And Lord, that right now you would refocus us to you instead of these distractions and cares and worries of the world. Just focus on you. And we just do that right now in your mighty, matchless name, Jesus. Amen. So we have a lot to talk about today, and I'm going to go right to your daily intelligence briefing. We have a couple concerning things. First of all, just set the context nationally. About 2 to 8 million kids are going to be leaving the public school system here in the next little while and going into either homeschooling or the private school system. Now, it's something we've been praying about for decades. It's happening. Are we ready for it? But as part of that context, it's being revealed now what public school has really been about. So I want to give some credit to Fox News for this story. A Tennessee mom says that parents were asked there to sign a, quote, ridiculous waiver, end quote, that they will not eavesdrop on their kids' online lessons. Another professor recently made the comment about there's serious harm being done because parents can now see what their children are being taught. obviously, and this comes from the mom who's concerned, because they're teaching our children propaganda that they should not be teaching. They're trying to socialize our children, end quote. Yeah, what are they trying to hide? I mean, why don't they want parents to watch? Well, that's a great question, and parents are starting to wise up to this fact, and that's why we're seeing a massive exodus from the public or government school system, because it is a government-run school system. We've talked about it on the show before. It's government-run, always has been. I've seen good kids, and I was talking to the local principal of a private school, I should say headmaster, talking about the fact that if a child is trained up in the way they should go and does something along the lines of practical discipleship or mission work overseas, 9 out of 10 of them will stay in the faith. But if that doesn't happen, 9 out of 10 walk away from the faith. And we can have, you know, people have all these arguments, well, we need to be a light in the world. Now, we're okay. That is a logical fallacy, first of all, because when you're training people up in the way they should go, you only send them in to what they are trained to deal with. You don't send green troops into battle unless you absolutely have to. You try to work them up to a status where they can fight hard battles. It's a pretty simple principle. So anyway, I've heard that before, but the statistics, that's the reality. So you just got to deal with the reality that 9 out of 10 in the faith, 9 out of 10 out of the faith. We know what makes it happen, and that is training kids up in the way they should go versus throwing them to the wolves and letting the wolves train them up. I know some people have emotional reactions to this, but that the reality is the reality on the ground. And right now, what we have to embrace is the fact that we have a whole bunch of kids that are coming into the Christian school system as a harvest that we do need to train up, we do need to embrace, we do need to minister to. So, also want to talk about some interesting things that are happening. This coming to us from Deb Kafile overseas on the international front. An 1,100-year-old gold coin hoard was found in central Israel. Teen volunteers at the Antiquities Authority dug in central Israel when they were astonished to find a large hoard of ancient gold coins before a new neighborhood was built. Wow. Interesting. It dates back to the era of the Baghdad-based Abbasid Caliphate that ruled from northern Persia, or actually all of Persia, to North Africa. One coin fragment was minted in Constantinople. And Constantinople was the head of the Eastern Roman Empire at that time. So it's interesting, there was trade that was occurring. Also on the international front, Turkey has now come out and befriended Hamas. Well, that we knew that was coming because they, Recep Erdogan allowed the Muslim Brotherhood to flee to Turkey, and now Hamas, which is associated with the Muslim Brotherhood, is now being friendly with Turkey. Okay, so that's just not really news flash. We knew that was happening. We knew it was coming. And, you know, like I mentioned before, the Hagia Sophia. So in 1924, Kemal Ataturk abolished the caliphate. And one of the other things that he did was he turned the Hagia Sophia, which was a mosque at that time, into a museum. Well, before that, during the time of Constantinople, that was a glorious Christian church that, when the Islamic armies invaded, they defiled it. They defiled the nuns and the priests on the altar for days. and then turned it into a mosque. And that mosque became the place where all caliphs were effectively ordained. And so now what we're seeing is Recep Erdogan 3 weeks ago turned the Hagia Sophia back into a mosque instead of a museum. So he's already signaling where he's going, and he's consolidating his power base. So, you know, that's just what's going to happen here in the next couple of years. You're going to see Recep Erdogan stand up on a stage and be declared the next caliph. And you're going to have a bunch of guys in funny hats standing behind him from Al-Azhar University, the foremost university in Sunni Islam, ratifying or verifying or giving their imprimatur to this new caliphate in Turkey. So that's where it's headed. Remember, you heard it on Patriot Radio. All right. And not for the sake of saying we told you so, but for the sake of, look, very few outlets right now are talking about the truth about what's going to happen. In addition to that, Kenosha, Wisconsin, I'm going to talk about Kenosha, Wisconsin. So this is on the national front, coming to us from the New American. The National Guard is called in to quell riots backed by the Democrat governor. I want to read this again. The National Guard was needed to quell riots backed by the Democrat governor. So the Wisconsin governor, Tony Evers, called in the National Guard to help control the riots. His irresponsible statement about the police shooting of Jacob Blake might well have helped cause. They're playing both sides here, everybody. There they are. They're playing both sides. Now the footage is coming out showing that things are not the way that they were described. Here's what the Democrat governor said, quote, "We stand with all those who have and continue to demand justice, equity, and accountability for black lives in our country. Lives like those of George Floyd and et cetera, this list. And we stand against excessive use of force and immediate escalation when engaging black Wisconsinites." Okay, you took an oath to the Constitution, which says there should be equal application of the law, that we are all treated equally under the law. So it shouldn't be just one group or another group. It should be everybody. Anyway, fact of the matter is that these Democrat governors have been, and I want to use this term very intentionally right now, by statements that are fanning the flames, have been complicit in what's going on. And again, the Maoist insurgency model says that there will be coordinated violent and nonviolent action. And what you see is they will, when it comes to their neighborhood, like the mayor of Seattle, then they'll act. Despite policies, despite statements, and despite stands prior to that, that it have enabled and emboldened these Marxist revolutionaries in America. And they are Marxist revolutionaries. I've been talking about this for 2 years. These Marxist revolutionaries are trying to destabilize the United States. We are in stage three of what Yuri Bezmenov talked about, crisis. They're going to try to foment something over the next couple months. We're inside that now timeline. And one of the things that you learn studying Marxists, and I've studied them for the better part of my adult life, both in the military and outside, they always follow their book. So whether it's the mini manual of the urban guerrilla by Carlos Marighella, or it's Unrestricted Warfare put up by two Chinese colonels 21 years ago, they follow their book. And so we know that part of the strategy was to use a bioweapon. We know the second part of the strategy is to use an EMP, is to use information warfare, is to use economic warfare, and to do so in a way that is without boundaries. In other words, unrestricted. And that's where that title came from in regards to unrestricted warfare. Now, it's interesting. Former strategic planner for the National Security Council, Rich Higgins, talked about reading pages 144 and 147 of this unrestricted warfare. And it's absolutely fascinating how this is played out. So I want to read a couple things in here that really stand out to me. Quote, the American military is naturally inadequately prepared to deal with this type of enemy psychologically in terms or measures, and especially as regards military thinking and the methods of operation derived from this. This is because they have never taken into consideration and have even refused to consider means that are contrary to tradition and to select measures of operation other than military means. This will naturally not allow them to add and combine the two into new measures and new methods of operation. Well, what are they talking about there? They're talking about new uses of technology, integrated technology. They're talking about, in that context, economic warfare, which was the attack on the Twin Towers. There was a physical component to that, but the nature of it was economic warfare. They're talking about information warfare. And then it goes. They go on further to say this, that speaking about the American military, their method does not go beyond satellite reconnaissance, electronic countermeasures, large-scale air attacks plus precision attacks, ground-out flanking, amphibious landings, or airdrops behind enemy lines. The result is not that the enemy nation proclaims defeat, but rather one returns with one's own spears and feathers. However, by using a combination method, a completely different scenario and game can occur. If the attacking side, and this is talking about China now, secretly musters large amounts of capital, and this is economic warfare he's talking about, without the enemy nation being aware of this at all and launches a sneak attack against its financial markets, then after causing a financial crisis, buries a computer virus and hacker detachment in the opponent's computer system in advance, while at the same time carrying out a network attack against the enemy so that the civilian electricity network, traffic dispatching network, financial transaction network, telephone communications network, and mass media network are completely paralyzed, this will cause the enemy nation to fall into social panic. Street riots. Did you hear that? Street riots and political crisis. They are telling us, the Chinese are telling us what they're going to do. They're going to use and are using information warfare right now against this country. They are using and are going to use computer attacks against our electricity network, our traffic dispatching network. Okay, think about the things that control subways. Think about the things that control flows of traffic in big cities. Okay. Also, they're going to launch attacks against our financial transaction network, our telephone communications network. Imagine this for a moment, folks. You wake up in the morning and your cell phone doesn't work. What would happen? What would you do in that moment? Now, I remember a time when we didn't have cell phones, and what a glorious time that actually was. Some of you are probably cheering right now as I say that. But what is their end? Imagine if that happens, we're thrown into panic, we're destabilized, we're weak, and we start fighting amongst ourselves. Then they wait. They let us fight amongst ourselves. And then this is what happens. They actually say what they want to do. There is finally the forceful bearing down by the army, and military means are utilized in gradual stages until the enemy is forced to sign a dishonorable treaty. So then they will start ramping up the military part of this. And then they'll try to get the United States to sign a treaty. That is the direction these guys are heading. You got to understand they are using, and I want to, we're not just talking financial warfare. They're using, and this is from this document as well on page 146, trade warfare, biochemical warfare, resources warfare, ecological warfare, psychological warfare, economic aid warfare, space warfare, regulatory warfare, electronic warfare, smuggling warfare. And by the way, I think that's what's going on in the Caribbean right now. Trump has deployed a whole bunch of assets to the Caribbean. I think that they were trying to use smuggling warfare against us in the Caribbean. Sanction warfare, guerrilla warfare, drug warfare. We've already seen part of the drug warfare with fentanyl and all that other stuff. Media warfare. And yes, the media is used in warfare, and they are using the mainstream media as a tool of warfare against patriots, against those that love the Constitution and love this country. Virtual warfare, ideological warfare. And then it says any of the above types of methods of operation can be combined within another of the above methods to form a completely new method of operation. So that gives you an idea of what the Chinese are thinking right now. And I mean, it sounds like I'm kind of reading from the headlines. That's what they're doing. So they're going to continue to do this in America. And we need to be aware of what's going on and stop pretending like these things are not linked. Now, I don't care what the mainstream media says. Guys like Sean Vestal have supported Marxist organizations for years. I'm not worried about those guys. They're candidly irrelevant. What we're worried about are the people that are giving the orders to the media to do this stuff to try to bring the country down. I've talked about this before, but brown shirts in Nazi or National Socialist Germany were used first, and they did this in a lot of other countries too, like in China under Mao and with Lenin. They have these folks that destabilize the country. They go out and they riot, they burn things to the ground, they cause general mayhem and chaos. And eventually, though, the black shirts take out the brown shirts, and then they come in, and that's when it really gets rough. That's when it really gets rough. So what we're seeing with these governors that aren't taking action to stop the street rioting is they are enabling the Marxist and the Maoist Chinese strategy to work in America, because they're going along with what they want, the fomenting of chaos, riots, etc., and trying to cover it in some sort of legitimacy. And that's it in a nutshell. That's why this whole plandemic, it's so important to understand, it is intentional to try to shut down the U.S. economy. They are trying to destroy the economy. Look, it's really simple. For those of us that were trained in nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare, the size of a virus in the microns is smaller than the gap of the fabric of a mask, or the ones that they're purporting we should all wear. So it doesn't make sense. Why would they do that? Well, it's part of the strategy to destabilize through financial, economic, information, and all the other ones I talked about, warfare, destabilize the United States, and to try to take away our prosperity or our ability to create wealth so that we can fight back. And Trump knows this, and that's why he's neutering systematically China, and that's why China's ramping it up against us right now. And this election is really simple. It's either you're voting for America and liberty, or you're siding with the Marxists and evil. But America's done some bad things. Look, I'm not saying America's perfect. What I'm saying is that this is the greatest system. This is the greatest country. And if we really love it, we're going to have to all stand up. It's not going to be one or two people. We've all got to stand up. I think a lot of times Christians particularly have said, okay, well, the pastor, that's his job to stand up. Or, okay, the politician, that's his job to stand up. Not my job to stand up. Yes, it is your job to stand up right now. It is your job. And that brings us to the next thing on the national front, and that is the big tech takedown of conservative groups. So a whole bunch of conservative groups were deplatformed here last week. So you can find me on Parler at Matt Shea, S-H-E-A, on Parler. Follow me on Parler. Go to Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R. There's a couple other great alternative sites, but Parler is seeming to work the best right now. And then I want to say this too. There was on November 9th, 1938, Nazi or National Socialist propaganda minister Joseph Goebbels announced a government-sanctioned reprisal against Jews. It was called Kristallnacht, or the Night of Broken Glass. And we're now seeing open calls for the destruction of statues of Jesus, Christian landmarks, Christian churches. So it's gone now beyond the label lynching of Christian patriots. It's now going to what effectively happened in Germany, where there were calls for essentially a night of broken glass against, you know, it was against Jewish businesses then, against Christian businesses now. And we don't have, I don't think, a sense of enough history to understand what this means. A lot of Slavics that have fled here understand this, and they see the warning signs, and they're talking openly about it. So what do we do to fight back? Well, that brings us to the local front. September 13th. Up in Bonner's Ferry, we're going to be doing a dinner from 1 to 4. We're going to be talking about not only the pandemic, but the tyranny that is coming into America right now and what you can do to stop it. You can see that up on my Facebook site. I would also say that, and it's on my Parler site too, by the way, I would also say that I'm going to start going way away from Facebook and posting almost exclusively on Parler, except for a few key things that I think need to be widely so. Anyway, We all need to just stand up right now. That's what we need to do. We need to stop. We need to stop dancing around this, and we all need to stand up. So pray about it, what you should be doing in this time. But understand that the time that we're in, the history that we're living in right now, that we're making right now, is going to take all of us as Americans. Otherwise, this is a very dark road. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think Americans, like we always do, are going to rise to the occasion. We will rise to the occasion. We will wake up, and we will throw off the chains of tyranny. We will throw off the Marxists. And the only thing that'll be canceled in our culture will be Marxism. And this globalist threat to all of us. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that is been praying for us, that has been giving us encouragement, that's been standing beside us for so long. Thank you to everybody out there. You don't get thanked enough, and thank you for that. All right. If you get a chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family, and also go to iTunes, Podbean, and Spotify if you want to listen to the show. And remember, we're replayed across the entire ACN network at 9 o'clock. And my guest today is Bill Jasper, the senior editor of the New American Magazine, somebody we've had on here before, but somebody who always has great insight into what not only we're experiencing, but what lies in store for us in the future. Bill, it's great to have you back on Patriot Radio. How are you doing, my friend? How's Idaho?
Doing well. Thank you. It's an honor to be back here with you, Matt. You're right out there on the front line, and I really appreciate all you're doing, both on all the different fronts that you're working on.
Well, I want to just kind of give you an opportunity to set the stage right now. What are we seeing? What do you expect to see here in the next couple of months? And then let's get into some details. But if you could set the stage for the listeners.
Well, I hate to be a bad bearer of bad news, but that's been my lot pretty much like the prophet Jeremiah for the last 40 years. There is good news out there in that people are waking up. However, we're very late in the day, and there is more bad news on the horizon because the forces of evil are really plotting and planning a lot of very bad stuff, and we're seeing it. The two major fronts that everybody recognizes, or most everybody that's half awake but not woke, we're the wide awake but not woke folks, and we recognize that, A, the COVID-1984 pandemic that has been fastened upon us is really unprecedented in any of our lives and in world history, where the whole planet has been locked down. Virus released by the Chinese Communist Party and amplified and utilized by globalists in our governments and governments all over the world have shut down the entire planet and have pushed us further into a communist Chinese Maoist style totalitarian state than anything we've ever seen in our lifetimes. I mean, where all human activity basically is put under regulation and stopped and or severely curtailed, and we are told when we can travel, what we can do, when we are essential, if we are essential, what we shall be allowed to do, whether we shall be allowed to worship God as we have chosen to do. All of these things are unprecedented, and it is really quite amazing. And then at the same time, the second revolution that's going on right now, and even as we speak, as the COVID-1984 CCP virus continues to run amok, we have all of the riots and insurrection that are going on across the country, again, supposedly in response to systemic racism, police brutality, the killings of black people by white cops. That's the narrative, the storyline. The real story is, of course, very different. And the people who are exploiting every one of these incidents and claiming to be doing it for social justice have nothing but chaos and destruction in mind and planned for us. And we see that all across the board in all of the cities, all not just in the United States, but we focus primarily here in the United States where this has been taking place. And all of the so-called activists who are leading the charge in this revolution, it is a revolution, are communists, Marxists, Leninists, Maoists, Trotskyists, communists of one kind or another identify as Marxists. Before the Black Lives Matter came along, the leaders of this revolution were actively pushing the same thing with what they call civil disobedience, but was really a revolution with the Occupy Wall Street movement. And then they grab it after 2008, 2009, when that fizzled out as the economy started improving, and the Occupy Wall Street, which was based largely upon Marxist economics and the arguments that against the 1%, they saw that was fizzling because the economies were getting back on their feet. So they decided we had to shift over to environmental issues, global warming and the other things, and stir up as much unrest, turmoil, agitation, street confrontations as possible. And they did that with the pipeline and with the global warming and a number of other environmental pursuits. But at the same time, they recognized that immigration was another area that they could exploit. And so we had all kinds of turmoil and confrontation in that regard. But the big thing that they were working on in the background during all this time was on race, and particularly trying to agitate amongst the black population, because that they recognized the Communist Party in the United States over a century ago really focused on the black population in the United States. And Burgess Owens, who is running for Congress in Utah, black NFL star, has spoken very eloquently to this whole issue and pointed out how it is the left, the communists, the socialists, the Democrats on the left, who have destroyed the black family and the black middle class that existed up until the 1950s. For over since the Civil War, particularly from the beginning of the 20th century on until 1950, a large, prosperous black middle class had developed. But when the socialists and their Democrat allies succeeded in pushing through the so-called anti-poverty programs in the 1960s, they destroyed the black family and the black productivity, and now all these towns and cities that once were prosperous black middle class now have been turned into what has become known as the ghetto. And so we have these two revolutions going on at once, and they're both connected. And that's been one of the things that we've focused on considerable amount in the New American over the last several months, is showing the interconnectedness of these. They're interconnected both in their objectives. They're both aimed at destroying American society. The cancel culture, you know, the new KKK is the cancel culture clan. And that's all the communists on the left who are pushing to do, just as Mao's Red Guard did in China during the Cultural Revolution, tearing down all the statues and temples to Confucius and to Buddha, and all of the traditional reverence in China for tradition. They had to destroy all of that. They had to destroy the three olds, the culture, the religion, and the respect for parents and authority. And that's what we're seeing them do here. And it's not an accident that many of those leading in both the environmental so-called direct action Antifa movements, as well as in the racial ones with Black Lives Matter and the anti-statue, anti-monuments people, are Revolutionary Communist Party, which is a Maoist communist group, the Workers' World Party, which is a Maoist communist group, and other offshoots and breakaways from the Moscow-directed Communist Party USA. So we have really a foreign-led operation in the revolutions that are tearing our country apart right now. And the media, which claims to be all concerned about finding this conspiracy with Russia and Putin against the United States, with President Trump, seem to be totally blind, willfully blind to the revolution that's going on right under their noses here with the Chinese Communist Party and other foreign operations here that are working with Antifa, with Black Lives Matter, with the various other groups that are trying to tear our country apart.
Well, ultimately, and we've talked about this before, I mean, Bill, you're one of the best investigative journalists in the country. You've been doing it for 4 decades. Not to date you, but that's a good amount of experience. The globalists seem to be behind this very clearly. We're seeing now the overt connection between Soros and Gates and Remdesivir, which is the project of the grandson of a Chinese dictator. You know, we see all these connections right now. What is the connection, do you think, between the riots that are, you know, it just seems like there's any flashpoint they can kind of invent or use with Wisconsin and a lot of the other cities, and they're refusing to report what's happening on the streets in those cities? What do you think the connection is with the election? What is the end goal here? And where do you think that this goes with a Trump win? I think that's the important question to ask. What happens if Trump wins?
Well, those are really, really important questions, and it's coming up on us very quickly. And that's why we're right now facing a number of dilemmas. And I'll put it to you completely unsugarcoated. No matter which way it goes, if Trump wins or if he loses, or if Biden wins, or if Biden daughters off the edge somewhere and Kamala Harris ends up taking it, whoever wins, we're going to be seeing some very nasty things happen. And when I say nasty things, I mean, we're talking about existential threats. We've already seen now for the last several years, right from the very start of even before the start of the Trump inauguration, we've never had anything like this before. While he was even campaigning, we had all of the Antifa, Black Lives Matter, racist and fascist, communist organizations disrupting, attacking, feloniously assaulting Trump's supporters, and not just supporters, but anyone who they viewed as being in their way, attacking them. And all they had to do was point a finger at you and say, you're a racist, you're a fascist, you're a neo-Nazi, don't provide any proof or anything, because there are so few neo-Nazis and fascists around, and most of the people they were pointing at had nothing to do with that. Many of them were actually military people who had fought against the Nazis. So we saw it clear back then in 2016, in the run-up to the elections there, how violent things got. And then on the day of the inauguration, a Disrupt J-20, that was an Antifa communist operation. When I say communist, I'm not throwing around the term blithely or inadvisedly. The Communist Party USA, the Revolutionary Communist Party, the Workers' World Party, the Progressive Labor Party, the Socialist Workers' Party, they and all of their adjuncts like RefuseFascism.com and Not in Our Name and By Any Means Necessary, all of these groups are openly, proudly, confessedly communist. They say so on their own websites. They say so in their own magazines. They have festoon all of their literature and their events with the communist hammer and sickle, the Red Star, and Marx, Lenin, Stalin, Mao. So, I mean, right. It's ridiculous. And yet the media, the phony fake news media, the left stream media will say, will refer to them by the name that they choose. They will refer to them as anti-fascists. They're not anti-fascists. They are as fascist as they come. In fact, if you look at what the fascists really have been historically, that is precisely what Antifa and all of the so-called anti-fascists today are promoting. So they've been doing this all throughout the last 4 years of the Trump administration, and they've gotten away with it largely because the Trump administration Department of Justice was still clogged with swamp creatures from the Obama administration, from the Holder Justice Department. So we didn't see prosecutions of any of the all charges were dropped against the hundreds of people who were arrested during those very riotous. I mean, during President Obama's inauguration, everybody on the left would have been just simply aghast and furious, outraged, if there had been even a little peep against him. And what did they do against Trump here? It was completely unprecedented, their attacks on him. None of those people were prosecuted because all of the Holder Justice Department people let them go. And that's what we're seeing in Portland. We've had 2 months of terrible rioting and burning and looting and destruction and death dealing in Portland. And the prosecutor there, one of the bunch of new prosecutors around the country that have been put in power by Soros and his leftist cronies, billionaires, who have been funding the takeover of state attorney general and big city prosecutorial positions. Prosecutor Schmidt there, I think it's Mike Schmidt, he dropped charges, said he wasn't going to prosecute any of the people involved there in Portland that were arrested for all of these crimes. And it's the same thing that we have with Chesa Boudin in San Francisco. He is, of course, the son of Kathy Boudin, the Weather Underground terrorist, and was raised by Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, the Weather Underground terrorists. And he's now the district attorney for San Francisco, ran as a communist and was elected there thanks to all of the big leftist billionaires that fund these things. So we're going to be seeing, as the elections approach, I believe, an escalation of all of this violence around the country. And we're going to see the twin, at the same time, an attempt to clamp down again, to do another lockdown on the entire economy. They cannot allow Trump's policies to succeed. You know, after the first lockdown, which almost knocked down our whole economy, we're seeing a lot of indicators, as we've written about, that show the country is bouncing back in spite of all of that economically. And so they can't allow that to happen. So they're going to try to do that to destroy the economy and turn more people against Trump because they're claiming that he didn't respond harshly enough at first, that he should have adopted China's policies.
Right.
And at the same time, they want it to make this ungovernable. You know, Steph Yorick, who is the one of the leaders of the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, which is one of the communist organizations that has been organizing all these Antifa demonstrations, or rather riots around the country, clear back at the inauguration day, that was on January 20th, 2016. She said at that time in Washington, D.C., speaking to the rioters there, she said, from this day forward, we have to be in the streets and make this country ungovernable. And that's been the message that has been repeated over the last several years. We have to make this country ungovernable. So they do not want reform. They do not want to see any kind of real justice or any kind of improvement. They want to see the country ungovernable. They want chaos so that they can replace what we have with the system that they want. And they make it very clear they're anti-capitalist, they're anti-Christian, they're anti-freedom. They support all communist dictatorships. They support Fidel Castro's and his brother's dictatorship in Cuba. They support the dictatorship of Hugo Chavez and Maduro in Venezuela. They support the dictatorship of Mao Zedong and his successor Xi Jinping in China. So that is what all the street radicals are pushing for. And unfortunately, the globalists, led by Bill Gates, George Soros, David Rockefeller, dearly departed, and all the rest of them, are pushing for the same thing at the internationalist, globalist level.
So let's look out to November 15th, picking a date. Trump wins. The riots continue in America, very likely. Then what? Because he's tried to enforce, like you were talking about, he's tried to enforce, the Department of Justice has moved like molasses because of the things that you were talking about. Is there going to be accountability? Because ultimately, order has to be restored, or Americans are going to restore order community by community like they've had to do in the past. How does this shake down? You've watched geopolitical things for decades in different countries that have had Marxist revolutions. We're experiencing an attempted Marxist revolution here in America. November 15th, what can people expect? And what can people, more importantly, do between now and then in the last 3 minutes that we got?
Well, first of all, I'm assuming that many of the people listening, if not most, are Christians. I believe one of the things that we need now more than anything else is prayer and sacrifice. And it's not just enough to say a prayer once a day. I think you need to really get down on our knees, pray. We need to sacrifice. I mean, fast and sacrifice and really ask God to heal our land, to give those courageous leaders who are trying to restore order and to save our country to have the grace and guidance they need. And secondly, we have to get prepared. We're going to have huge dislocations. I mean, we've already seen it with the COVID thing. So we're going to have disruptions of food supplies and other things. So we need to be prepared to provide for our own families first and ourselves. And then we can help our neighbors and those around us so that we don't have panic and very destructive activities because people are desperate. But thirdly, we're going to see, because of now of the mail planned chaos, because of the mail situation, where all of these blue states have put in mail voting, they're already saying we're not going to know the results of the election till after January 20th. And Professor Lawrence Tribe of Harvard is one of those who's really promoting this. And therefore, they say, even if President Trump claims that he is elected, we won't really know until after January 20th, because all of the various states, California, et cetera, won't have their ballots in. And therefore, Nancy Pelosi becomes president on January 20th. And so that's the scenario they're setting up, in which then we will have a contested situation, because the blue states have delayed the votes. And so that would end up in conflict, civil war, very serious challenges. We've never been in that situation before. So we need to praying. We need to get out there and vote. We need to get ourselves informed and get as many of our friends and family and associates informed. And one of the ways they can do that, I'll shamelessly promote, is to go to thenewamerican.com. And we're doing our best to keep people informed about what is really happening, not just on the surface, but deep down, what the deep state and other operatives are doing.
Bill, I want to thank you for everything you've been doing over the years. If you could, plug The New American, where people can go find out more information and read articles about what you're talking about.
Yes, thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. We have dozens of new articles up there and videos every day, and you can do a search on there and find, if you want to do on Antifa or Black Lives Matter, you'll find a lot of the material where we were the first ones to put out on who is really behind it, who's funding it, what their affiliations are with the various groups. We have great people like you've had Trevor Loudon and Alex Newman and Mitchell Shaw on your program. They write for us, as do many others. And So we welcome you to come there. And if you would make it your homepage, it helps us to get the traffic we need to keep adding more staff and the ability to dig even deeper into all of this.
Bill, blessings to you. Keep up the fight. And I'd love to have you on again here as we get closer to the election. I just have a sneaking suspicion that Labor Day, we're going to start seeing an increased volume of these types of riots and just mass chaos in the bigger cities around the country. Unfortunately, I think that these things are planned, obviously, and I think we're going to see more of them soon.
Well, and the thing is, we already are starting to see it, but the organizers of these want to take it to the suburbs and the small rural communities too, and they're trying to figure out ways of doing that without getting their tails kicked, and so they are planning it, and we are seeing them going into and scouting out many of the smaller towns and cities and suburbs.
Bill Jasper, the New American, senior editor and longtime investigative journalist, thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Blessings to you and your family. Stay safe.
Thank you.
All right. Again, if you don't go to the New American, I have talked about this for a long time. Go to the New American. Check it out online. Subscribe to the magazine. It's fantastic. Also, and lastly, if you are not prepared, if you don't have food stored up for a year or two, you can go to Readout News. You can check out the article that I posted there and actually helped to write there. And actually, Sherry posted it. But it outlines what you need to do to get prepared, especially for food. Go check that out. Use it as a checklist. You don't have to do everything at once, but you do need to get prepared for what's coming. Blessings to all of you. This is Matt Shea. Thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Keep up the fight.